I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Gary, Rami, and Sparky have been going at it for 3 hours, but haven't crashed and burned yet.
Well, it's the big show.
It's time for the guys to reset the big topics from today's big show and let you pick a lane.
Pick a lane. Brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, where the 2017 racing season continues. Go to GreatLakesDragway.com for the full season schedule, daily track updates, and to purchase discounted ticket packages.
It is that time here on the Wendy's Big Show. I'm Rami Makhlouf, along with the Packer Hall of Famer, inventor of the Lambeau Leap, Leroy Butler. We'll hear from Mike McCarthy coming up at 5:35. Right now, we have two lanes for you. One is just wide open. Any thoughts, comments, questions, concerns, observations that you had during or since the 23-16 win over the Bears, we welcome those at 799-1250. We'll call that the right lane. The center lane, a question that sort of popped up as people are poo-pooing this win throughout the afternoon because it was against what, let's be honest, is a bad Bears football team. So we're asking how much stock, how much weight do you put into that win over the Bears yesterday? 799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7FM The Fan. You can drop an email live at 105.7FMTheFan.com as well. I got an email I'll read here in just a second. Here's a tweet from Jeremy, though, first. He says, if Green Bay defeats the Ravens, then the Packers are going to the playoffs. Rodgers comes back in time for a Super Bowl run and beat the Patriots. Hashtag, you gotta believe. A lot of people want to see Packers and Patriots in the Super Bowl now after the Martellus Bennett drama.
Do you know
of last
how much
week.
Money I can make? That would be a relive of Super Bowl 31.
Oh, yeah.
I'm praying for
yeah,
that.
You can head to the Super Bowl's in Minnesota this year?
Yes.
Oh, you can head to Minnesota, just drop a table in the middle of the street.
Red right Miller Street.
Start starting out of grass.
Red Miller Street. All the way around the corner.
You don't even have you don't even have to go to Press Row.
Veterans are free.
Just set up your table right there in the middle of the street.
So, yeah, that would be great.
I know.
That would be great.
And I also know, as someone who loves drama, you would love a Packers-Patriots rematch and all the talk that would surround Martellus Bennett that week.
Oh, my. Oh.
You would eat that up.
Oh, my goodness. You, ooh, boy, you good to bring that one up. That would be fantastic.
I'm not the first, man. I think
you had to feel such a kind of a way about it when you saw him out there playing.
I gave the dude the benefit of the doubt, man.
I know.
Because I like Martellus Bennett.
Yeah.
I think he's an entertaining dude to hear him speak. I like all the interests and everything that he has outside of football. So I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
But his explanation and what we're seeing, they just don't add up, man.
No,
they just don't add up at all. Now, what the Packers are saying doesn't necessarily add up either. I think Martellus is lying when he says that Dr. McKenzie tried to pressure him into playing and made him feel uncomfortable, because that's something that Dr. McKenzie, by all accounts, yours included, Leroy, and everybody else, John Kuhn came out and spoke, Jordy Nelson came out and spoke, Aaron Rodgers came out and spoke about how cautious Dr. McKenzie and the Packers organization is when it comes to injuries and rushing guys back, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't think that part of his story is true. I do believe him, though, when he says that the Packers knew about the injury. That I buy, and that makes really it makes both sides kind of petty in this whole thing. If that's true, if the Packers knew about the injury and they put that failure to report medical information as a designation on why they released him, that's pettiness on their part, and it's pettiness on his part to walk out the door and start telling stories and say that you wanted to get season-ending shoulder surgery until Bill Belichick called, and then you were like, and I quote, "F it."
Right.
Let's go out there and play some football.
And made him practice.
That just doesn't add up to me, man. And then caught that pass.
Yes. Caught three.
And yeah.
and but fell on his shoulder.
The one that was 27 yards, that's what I was just about to say, his 27-yard reception. He dropped the shoulder, tried to run through a couple defenders, then fell onto the shoulder on the sideline. So are you hurt or are you not, dog? What's
keep it 100.
What's going on here?
And again, this going both sides are going to sue each other. Some arbitrator is going to figure it out. But he's going to have to pay some of that money back by playing in that game.
Here is, courtesy of Mike Clemens, what Martellus Bennett said after that Patriots win last night.
They claimed me. At first, I told my agent to tell him no teams to claim me because I was still trying to get the surgery or whatever. So when Bill called and said that they claimed me, I was like, no way. I think the group of guys in this team, or, you know, it couldn't be a better place for me to really, you know, with what I'm going through right now with that situation, it couldn't be a better place for me. You know, all the familiar faces and friends and things like that. So it's been good to have those guys around.
And if I'm the Packers,
yeah,
I hear that comment about saying he wasn't planning on signing on any other team except when Bill Belichick called. I'm calling the league office and asking them to look at tampering.
Yeah.
Because it sounds to me like Martellus Bennett just orchestrated his way out of Green Bay,
yep,
and circumvented the waiver wire process where certain teams get a crack at you before other teams based on record, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep. I agree. It sounds like that. I mean, it really does. Because Bill called him directly, or did he call his agent?
He called the agent. He said he called the agent.
Yeah. See, I think he might have called him too. But there's a reason why they didn't sign him back for whatever reason.
You know, just tell him that your shoulder hurts and you want some surgery or. That's Bill.
Yeah.
So Martellus. Martellus is in the parking lot, Lambeau Field. Man.
Yeah, and I wouldn't at all be surprised, given the Patriots and their history of not necessarily doing things on the up and up.
Just tell him this. Just tell him your shoulder hurts.
Right. If there was some communication between the two parties before he was ever released by the Packers. I know that I'm going into X-Files conspiracy theory domain here. Yeah. But I
didn't ask for my music.
We know the Patriots. And I don't think that's beyond the realm of possibility.
They claimed me. At first, I told my agent to tell him no teams to claim me because I was still trying to get the surgery or whatever. So when Bill called and said that they claimed me, I was like, no way.
Oh, my goodness.
I still like hearing the dude talk. I'm sorry. I'm still a fan of Marty Bennett,
I mean,
the dude.
Media just love that.
Yeah, no, I'm going to eat that up. I'll continue to eat that up. He's a funny dude. I'm sorry. Let's go to Josh in West Bend. You're on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Josh?
How you doing, guys?
Doing well.
First off, I 100% agree with you on the Martellus Bennett thing. That whole thing is so made up. And actually, he probably would have gotten away with it if he just didn't do that last interview.
Yep.
On getting picked up by the Patriots. Now everything looks fishy. But the reason I wanted to call is I cannot believe how people are shooting down the win against the Bears. To any of you, if the Packers were to go out and beat the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Ravens, would we have the same tone about the win? I doubt it. The Bears beat both of them. This league this year, everybody is so even. There's so much parity in this league that any team can beat anybody. So the fact that they're to pull out a win with all the controversy about losing coaches and we need to fire this guy and Rodgers is out, we don't think we're getting him back, we're missing our two running backs, that's a big win to come out and pull that off with all the things that are going on and against a team that, yes, they've got six losses, but look at some of the wins that they have right now. You know, and I believe, actually, yeah, they were at home against Pittsburgh, but, you know, there's still a couple big wins that the Bears have, and for the Packers to come out and win, I can't believe people are shooting it down like they are. So that's
appreciate,
all I got.
Thanks. Appreciate the call, Jeff.
Thanks for the phone call. Again, I want to talk about the, you know, that particular drive and the Packers' answer. When he threw the touchdown to Josh Bellamy, it was 16-13. We just talked about that in the 4 o'clock hour. You got 10 minutes left. But, you know, the Packers answered. You know, they answered by Hundley going 75 yards on 8 plays. I mean, it ended up with a 19-yard touchdown to Davante Adams. But, again, they could have easily just said, listen, the Bears quarterback is a rookie. I don't think he can move him down the field. Let's just run the ball to try to eat up some of the clock. They went down and scored. And I think that's the reason why people are feeling good about this, because McCarthy put it in his quarterback's hands. He wasn't conservative. He said, listen, we're going to win or lose it right here. And I absolutely love that. But I'm going to tell you something. The Bears will beat two playoff teams, or two teams that no one will pick them on, because they have a top 10, top 12 defense, and the offense got a good running game. And that's the only way people are going to give this win to the Packers any credence if they beat another team down the line.
And I hate it when people do that. That's the same thing we're the same thing we're running into with the Badgers in college football.
I know. And it's frustrating.
We got two lanes for you right now. Right lane wide open. Any thoughts, comments, questions, concerns, observations that you had during or six, a 23-16 win over the Bears? Center lane, how much stock, how much weight
the Bears
do you put in a win over the Bears? 799-1250. Are you poo-pooing that win? You can tweet us at 105.7FM The Fan. Email live at 105.7FMTheFan.com. And the Wendy's Big Show will be right back. I don't know.
Third down and 13. And they dump it off to Cunningham on the backfield. And the big fella is inside the 10, inside the 5, trying to get to the end zone. And he's just short. Benny Cunningham.
And of course, at that point, they called it short to a lot of people in the stadium, including obviously John Fox. It looked like Benny Cunningham might have had a Super Bowl. However, after John Fox challenged it, thinking that he had a touchdown. Did I say Super Bowl? Thinking he had a touchdown.
Yep.
It ends up, and I don't know if I've ever seen this, Leroy. I don't know about you, where a coach challenges a call.
Right.
And then not only does he not get the call overturned in his favor.
Yep.
But the call gets overturned against him. They're like, no, not only do you not have the touchdown.
Right.
Now you don't have the ball. It's a touchback because he fumbled before the ball hit the pylon.
And you would think that.
I don't know that I've ever seen that.
I bet you it'll happen. You know what? That's the kid from the Jets. Didn't he do something like that? That tight end. I forgot his name. Some kind of play that where he scored and lost the ball or something. But for the most part, the Packers were already in doubt that he scored, so they away when his foot went out. So they were going to review it anyway. But what they said, "Wait, don't even throw your flag, cause Fox is going to do it."
Right. Yeah.
And so it was going to get them a timeout. And plus, I think we're going to get the ball. That was a big play.
And I was watching it because I saw. First of all, it looked like his foot did slide out of bounds after he made a leap for the pylon before he got to the pylon. Mm-hmm. So I was watching it, and I was going, not only did he not get the touchdown, I'm pretty sure if John Fox challenges this, they're going to lose the ball. I don't know how many people saw that. It was
you say that to yourself?
Yeah, I was sitting there watching the game by myself because me and my girl are Packers fans. We can't be around each other when Packers and Bears play each other. She was upstairs. I was downstairs. So I was watching the game, and I was going,
hey, love conquers all.
I really don't think he should. He's going to lose the ball if he challenges this, and that is indeed what happened. That was the turning point in last night's Green and Gold postgame show. Here is John Fox afterwards talking about it.
On the challenge play, well, I think every indication we had was that he scored, and if anything, he would be at the one or inside the one instead of, I think they spotted the ball originally at the 3. Obviously, after replay and much time under, in fact, one of the officials thought he heard it's a touchdown. He had no idea that they were ruling it was a touchback, during the deciphering. But, obviously, that's a play you'd like to have back, but, that's not how this game works.
Mike, you were two questions for you. Mike Clemens on the other side of the glass. You were there. Did they give a view to you at any point on the Jumbotrons that they have there? A view that showed clearly that Benny Cunningham lost a ball before he got to the pylon?
Well, that's a good question.
They did. They were putting that up there. Of course, most of us in the press box got TV screens, so we're looking at that to watch what the networks are playing. But I'm telling you, I got Ted Thompson, those guys. A couple of the guys in the front office knew it. Some didn't. Some were like, what? I mean, half the press box didn't, and four or five players, I just kind of shrugged their shoulders and said, yeah, okay, that's a touchback. They're used to thinking about touchback at the back of the end zone.
Right.
Not in the air. Those doesn't have control of the football, and you touch the pylon, but that's considered out of bounds or the out of bounds of the end zone. So,
Have you ever, that's the second question I had for, have you ever seen that? Where
no.
a coach challenges a call and it goes
and he loses the football
against a coach who challenged the call.
Right. He loses the football. No, that's what made it so bizarre.
That is weird.
Not only do you not get the touchdown, you don't get the ball.
Right. No, now we're just going to keep
nothing.
And somebody,
hey, Mike, did anybody ask McCarthy, was he going to challenge it anyway? Because I was told that he was going to anyway.
No, he says there's three components to the play and the officials got them all right, Leroy.
So he wasn't going to say one way or the other because Mike McCarthy doesn't like to tell us things. We're going to hear from the Packers
like
head coach coming up at 5:35.
Y'all too nosy, y'all media people.
It's our job. Got this email here in the Wendy's inbox, live at 1057FMTheFan.com. This is from Ryan. He says, "Hi, Big Show." Hey, Ryan.
How you doing, Ryan?
"I put a lot of stock in that win, and I do so because of what I saw throughout the game. Those guys are clearly still playing for something. I don't think I was expecting a lackadaisical performance after two big losses. I was expecting to see lackluster effort from a few players. Everyone on the field yesterday had a winning attitude, and it showed to me that Mike McCarthy hasn't lost that locker room yet. They need to harness that attitude and keep it rolling, and if they can do so, I think they'll keep the boat afloat." Not only do I not think that this team had quit at any point or anything like that, I think what we saw in those first two games as far as the attitude and any lackadaisical attitude that might have been there with that team is just the shock.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Of losing your linchpin, losing
Absolutely.
Your franchise QB,
yep.
and sort of just looking around at each other and going, "Okay, now who steps up?"
Yeah,
you know what
absolutely.
I mean?
Absolutely. Because normally when you give up a touchdown pass, you can go to the bench and have a smiley if it's coherent or go back and get it back.
Right.
But now it's like, okay, we got to step our game up. If you don't step your game up, you're not going. Not only are you not going to win, but you're going to put yourself in a position where, you know, there are going to be some changes. And right now they're in a position, they just got to, from here on out, be aggressive on defense, blitz, 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 because that's what every team's going to do. Every team's going to pressure themselves now these last six or seven games. Every team's going to do it. So you got to get caught in a position to say, listen, we control our own destiny. All we got to do is win. You know, we can play the next two teams that's ahead of us, Detroit and Minnesota. So we can beat those guys and then, you know, win a couple uncommon opponents, Baltimore, Cleveland, and then all our goals are still out in front of us. In your scenario, if Aaron Rodgers comes back, then everything is perfect. But I don't want him to play.
You don't want who to play? Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, I don't want him.
That's the craziest damn thing I ever heard, man.
That ain't the craziest thing I've
heard
said.
Crazier things.
From me?
Huh?
From me?
I mean, no, I just said I have heard crazier things.
Oh, okay.
But that's
I said
up there.
A lot of crazy stuff.
Huh? I owe myself that one. I don't understand. We had this conversation at length, and I don't want to get into it again. Everybody talks about how few opportunities you get to win a Super Bowl, how few you have with back-to-back Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
Yep.
Look, man.
Okay, Drew Bledsoe, don't come back. Let Tom Brady win the Super Bowl.
You're not comparing Brett Hundley to Tom Brady,
it.
Are you? Don't
just
do it.
Done it.
Don't do it.
Done it.
Take that back.
Okay.
All right, good. I won't take back my endorsements for Dave and Buster's. And
Dak, you're going to have to sit. We're going to bring you back, Tony.
That is truly my favorite place in the whole wide world. And no
Not
better
just
place.
You, everybody's
everybody, good. Really. I'm headed to the Bucks game tonight. If I wasn't, a great place to watch that game.
Oh,
a great
yeah.
place. And you watch the football game tonight.
The service is unbelievable.
Dave and Buster's in Wauwatosa. Make them your game viewing experience home as well, with flat screens as far as the eye can see, including in that amazing D&B Sports Lounge, 3 161-inch screens and 8 75-inch screens for the ultimate viewing experience. And check out the football season specials every Sunday, Monday, that's today, and Thursday. $5 appetizers like their huddle of nachos, spinach dip, mozzarella sticks.
$5?
Yep.
I can afford that.
$3.50 for 22-ounce tappers of Miller Lite, Coors Light, and Bud Light. And as always, there's the Million Dollar Midway with the latest and greatest in arcade games for your halftime enjoyment. The Fantasy Football Weekly Show, myself, Tim Allen, Security Dan, and Greg Janik, our producer, we're all making a trip out there as a show.
Oh, nice.
After the show on the 26th, if anybody wants to stop by and say hi. And we will be taking advantage of those game day specials. There will be 350 22-ounce tappers of Miller Lite, Coors Light, and Bud Light
That's
going
nice.
Down our gullets, along with plenty of appetizers. And start thinking about booking your company's holiday party right now. You can even do a Dave and Buster's takeover and rent out the whole place. All you got to do, regardless the size of your party, call Ben at 414-454-0100. That's Ben at 414-454-0100. Let him and his awesome staff handle all the details, so all you have to do is eat, drink, play, and watch sports at Dave and Buster's Wauwatosa Highway 100, just south
well, that's my
of North
lives.
Avenue.
My guy Jerry lives over in that area. Don't you live in that area?
I I work over there, yes.
Who is this young man?
Yeah, it's a good friend of mine. You know, I don't tell how I make friends. I just have
them. All right.
But give your firm a nice little shout out.
I work at Tassos & Associates, certified public accountants and consultants in Wauwatosa.
Oh, so this
that
dude
sounds like somebody that got some money.
Yeah, this dude handles your money. I just found out how you made this friend. This is the guy
nice
who handles your money.
Jared.
Thanks for coming on, Jared. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, we'll hear from Packers head coach Mike McCarthy on an Aurora Healthcare Green and Gold Monday right here on the Wendy's Big Show.
Sports Flash right now.
From the Masters Z's WSSP Sports Update Studio, I'm Mike Clemens. Masters Z's is locally owned and the largest leisure retailer in Wisconsin. Over $1 million of inventory. Is your rec room ready for the holidays? Well, let Masters Z's make it fun and memorable for the entire family. First on the fan, Packers celebrating that 23-16 win over the Bears. But Green Bay taking some hits in their backfield. After just three carries in the game yesterday, running back Aaron Jones carted off the field. He's out 3 to 6 weeks with a sprained MCL. And quarterback Brett Hundley played most of the second half with a sore hamstring. Is he concerned?
No, it just tightened up on me a little bit. So that was probably the slowest I've ever ran in my life.
Devontae Adams is his leading receiver right now and catching that touchdown yesterday.
Brett's attention to detail, even before he was playing, is through the roof. He's playing with Aaron Rodgers, or behind Aaron Rodgers, most of his career so far. And, you know, if there's going to be anybody that's going to push you and make sure that you know all your stuff and real meticulous about small things, I think that that's where the difference sets in and being a real pro.
Green Bay now 5-4. They host the Ravens on Sunday at Lambeau Field. The Bears fall to 3-6. College football, Badgers are 5th in the AP poll, 4th in the coaches poll, secured the Big West title by throttling Iowa 38-14 over the weekend. Up next for the Badgers, the Michigan Wolverines at Camp Randall Stadium. Basketball tonight, downtown, Bucks, Memphis Grizzlies at the BMO Harris Bradley Center, followed by our post-game coverage on The Fan. This update is brought to you by Coach's Pub and Grill on South 13th Street, serving up the best wings on the south side with 8 awesome sauces. Just $6.95 for 10 wings. Coach's Pub and Grill. I'm Mike Clemens, Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Listen live on the WSSP smartphone app at AM 1250 or online at 1057FMTheFan.com.
Coach, and here is Mike McCarthy. Earlier today, after a 23-16 win over the Bears last night at Soldier Field.
Mike, what does it say about your running game when you're on the third back in your rotation and you're not going away from the running game, you're still giving the ball to the running back?
Well, it starts up front. I thought the play style of our football team, number one, was what you're looking for. The things when your team plays faster or finishes better than your opponent, I mean, that's the goal each and every week. And, you know, I thought our offensive defensive lines really set the pace and captured the line of scrimmage in the game. But, you know, our run blocking unit is where it started. So they're physical. We left a lot of offense on the field offensively. We were mentally was probably our poorest performance of the year. We had some new wrinkles and things in there. So mentally we weren't as sharp, but I thought our emotional, our drive, our finish was what it needed to be, and we need to build off of that because we can't make that many mental mistakes and leave that much production on the field as we move forward.
Mike, based on the feedback that you were getting from your guys upstairs, when they challenged, did your guys see the same result as what the outcome was?
Well, we saw this. I mean, we didn't see it until they actually start playing it in the stadium and up top. If it happens, I understand the rules are, you know, what they are as far as you're supposed to have clear mutual opportunities on both sides to review those types of plays because there was a catch earlier in the game that, you know, we had no information on it, so I did not challenge. But at the time, you know, based on seeing it live, because my viewpoint, I was watching his feed. I didn't have a clear look at the pylon, but based on the information to that point, we didn't have it. But once they start playing it, and after, you know, after John challenged it, you know, then our sideline was like, "Can you challenge a challenge?" And I said, "No, we just need to this. It'll work itself out."
Yeah,
so,
that was my next question. Yeah. If the result would have been different based on what they may or may not have seen, then would you
well, the way the rule reads, they're supposed to look at every component of the score. So, and thankfully, it worked out in our favor.
You can challenge, okay?
Depends on the call. It depends on the. but that's a score and whatever the term that they use.
They're supposed to come up with that call, so you wouldn't have to challenge it, right?
I mean, say that again.
They're looking, like you said, they're looking at everything, so you shouldn't have.
Well, I thought it was I thought it was definitely officiated correctly. I'm not just saying because of the way the outcome was, but I mean, he was challenging a touchdown where, you know, we went from, you know, it was a three component, you know, as far as the result instead of, I think, when obviously when they challenged, they thought it was two.
Hey, Mike, did Trevor Davis just lose where his bearings on that one punt that he caught like a yard deep, or yeah, it was a punt, right, that he caught a yard deep in the end zone?
Yeah, I'm going to have to blame that on David Rye. You know, we have an assistant coach each week that we assign to be the general of the week, and they give a speech on Saturdays, and he had him so jacked up he forgot where the hell he was at. So we're going to blame that one on General David Rye. Wrong decision, obviously. I'm kidding. I thought you won a game, you could crack a joke, but let's move on.
What can you do to try and cut down on special teams penalties?
Good point. First one's, you know, right there. Second one's a poor decision. So, you know, Joe, I mean, I'm not making excuses for Joe, but, you know, it's like anything. You got to get your feet, you know, you got to have your feet right. And it's unfortunate because, you know, the field position battle, what, you know, I felt like we won. And really the emphasis going into that game, especially with the weather, once we get down there, that could have been a huge benefactor for us in field position. Those two plays there, you know, we lost a lot of yardage with those two penalties. So, keep emphasizing it. I think it's important to evaluate everything, combative penalties, or you got to work through them. You know, mental errors and pre-snaps, there's no excuse. So that was, you know, the second one was a poor decision. I mean, he was clearly behind him on the block. But, you know, the first one with Joe was, you know, it was close.
I know Joe's been here a couple of years, but some of the other penalties this year, there were a couple for Hawkins, Bryce, Pipkins. Mm-hmm. Is it a youth thing?
Well, it's special teams. I mean, that's really, I mean, that's where our younger guys, you know, play. And, you know, you got to find that balance. You know, I don't know if you guys are out there in special teams. I think it's really a reflection of our practice structure. We spend so much time on fundamentals because that's an area that, you know, if you watch the trend of our teams over the years, our special teams have always come on in November, December, and I'm hoping for that to continue this year. So there's just more training involved there because, you know, hey, these guys come, you know, they're drafted, trying to make the team as offensive, defensive players. We all understand how important special teams is. And, you know, so that part of it as far as the individual time, and we feel like we spend more time now than we ever have developing the fundamentals of that. And it's paid off more for us at the end of the year historically. So I'm hoping for that to take off here in the next couple of weeks.
Both short-term and long-term, is there any concern with Kevin King's shoulder?
Well, good question. He was struggling with it yesterday, so he'll be evaluated. But I have nothing to report for you.
I guess by long-term, I mean he looks like he's wearing something on his shoulder. And I know he did in college, too, so I'm guessing this is something that's been an ongoing issue with
him. Yeah, absolutely. You know, as far as things they wear and equipment and things like that, it comes to the physical part. I think you can ask Kevin that.
Okay,
talking a lot about the time clock with Hundley and Pocket, you know, when he first – took over. How's that incrementally improved and or sped up now in the subsequent couple of games?
Well, you know, I think it's like any game. And I mean, you can take any quarterback through it. I mean, there's concepts you're really comfortable in. And then what position, you know, certain players are playing within that concept. So we're getting better each week. I thought he threw the ball with a good time clock this week, you know, better than last week. So, you know, but in the same breath, we're not rolling the same thing out there every week because we got to stay competitive schematically too. So, but yeah, I thought Brett definitely got better in the game and made a big key play when we needed it.
He hasn't had any turnovers here for about 3 weeks now. What does it say about a young quarterback who's solid in that regard?
Well, it's the number one priority. I mean, he touches the ball every snap, and you know, and that's something that, you know, I know every team in football emphasizes it, but, you know, he has to take care of the football, and he's going to have to take care of it, you know, this week against Baltimore. So, you know, you look at the games that they've won. I mean, I think they're averaging something like 3.4 turnovers or 3.4 turnovers in their wins. So you have to take care of the football, and he's doing a heck of a job of it.
Two more, please. You know, percentage-wise, Mason would probably like his numbers to be higher, but given everything that's gone on around him, has this been a pretty impressive season, what he's been able to do?
Definitely. I think, you know, I think Mason's, you know, one of the top or the top kicker in the league, in my opinion. But what I like about Mason is what he's done from a leadership position. I mean, he's had so much change. You know, he knows the schedule. He knows the preparation, you know, outline and all the little things. And then he's had young players, you know, multiple young players to work with. So, you know, his leadership has been really important. And we just got to keep working at it, because obviously we had the situation there. We missed the field goal in the fourth quarter. So, but I really liked his leadership and professionalism.
Like, when you start a guard at right tackle or at tackle,
yep.
I assume you have a disadvantage against the speed on the edge. But do you have an advantage, do you think, in the run game because you're playing a guy who's used to playing?
Well, I clearly understand your question, but it depends on the individuals too. I mean, it's just, you know, when you look at, you know, Justin McCray, you know, his play style and, you know, his strengths as far as his, you know, his footwork and his athletic ability and power, it definitely plays to your advantage in the run game. So, but you can see that, you know, he had some things were some tough situations, adjustments we got into that weren't as clean, but I mean, he's a tough guy. I mean, what he's done this year and played the multiple positions, I can't say enough about it. I just love the way he plays. And, you know, he had a huge matchup in that game. And, you know, and he delivered.
Thank you. Who's banged up from this weekend for the Pack?
That hurt!
Time for the McCormick Law Office Big Show Injury Report. McCormick Law Office, Wisconsin's neck and back injury attorneys.
It is time to check that injury report.
Oh, my goodness.
The biggest one, Aaron Jones left that game early yesterday.
Yeah,
and Adam Schefter had it early this morning. He'll miss 3 to 6 weeks with a sprain of his MCL. You heard Mike McCarthy talk a little bit about it right there as he was addressing the media the day after a 23-16 win over the Chicago Bears. Who has a win to talk about in the Big Show Knows Fantasy Football? We'll find out next and wrap this thing up on an Aurora Healthcare Green and Gold Monday before the Horse and Plow Huddle with Gary Ellerson and Bill Michaels, 6 o'clock from the Horse and Plow in Kohler, Wisconsin, and Devontae Adams, their special guest, on site. We're the Wendy's Big Show, and we'll be back right after this. On the Wendy's Big Show Knows Fantasy Football, each and every Friday, we make our picks to click. For that weekend in fantasy football, points are awarded to that player on a standard PPR basis, with quarterbacks getting 6 points for a touchdown. First place finisher gets 10 points in the season standings for the Big Show Knows Fantasy Football. Second place 8, third place 6, so on and so forth down the line. And here's how it broke down for week 10 in the NFL. Gary Ellerson, he took Jordan Howard. Packers fans know how that worked out for Gary Ellerson. Not so well. Got him 5.4 fantasy points in the last place finish. Leroy, you took Todd Gurley, who had a good game, got you 19.6 points, but other guys had better games, so that's
sure
a fourth-place finish for you, Leroy Butler. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer took Tom Brady. Tom Brady got Sparky 28.64 points. I had Matthew Stafford, got me 28.66 points. I beat Sparky by 2/100ths of a point.
You're going to be mad.
So Sparky gets third place. I get second place. Our listener took Jared Goff, good for 32.5 points. And a first place finish, but we got a problem. Now, you know, here on the Wendy's Big Show,
I know. We
keep it 100.
Yep.
Transparency is key.
And we like drama.
And
I do.
In the interest of full disclosure, I'm just going to go ahead and say, I'm going to admit.
What?
So every Friday when we do this thing,
right?
Our intern, Becky with the good hair,
yep,
a.k.a.
She's one of our best interns.
A.k.a. Sporty Spice.
Yep.
She writes down the listener's name, where they're from, and their phone
right.
number on a little sheet of paper.
Everything.
She gives it to me. In case that listener beats everybody on the show, I always say I'll dig deep in the prize closet, see what I got for you.
Right.
I lost that piece of paper.
What?
I lost
what,
it.
What? What?
It's gone. I don't remember his name. I don't remember the city he was calling from.
No.
Mike, can you help out at all with this? Do you remember the guy's name? No? I don't think. No, Mike doesn't know
either.
Yeah,
Jacob. I got his number right here.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, look at Mike coming through in a pinch. All right. Jacob. So, Jacob,
yeah,
congratulations.
He jumped all over Jared Goff. Remember?
Jacob. Cool. All right.
Nice.
I just wrote down his name in the standings here. So, Jacob, you'll have a little something coming to you.
Can you ask me a question? I got a question.
Sure.
Why didn't the Patriots sideline coaches wear the salute to soldiers?
I don't know.
Because it said
I didn't even
Patriots?
Notice they weren't until you just asked me. I have no idea.
I guess because it says Patriots.
Yeah, I guess they're already sort of patriotic.
Yeah.
Because that's their team name, is the Patriots.
Or they just said, I'm not doing it.
Maybe they don't feel the need to. I don't know. I didn't even notice
but
it.
But Twitter, so you can you help me out with that, Twitter? Because you know Twitter knows everything.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure.
Help me out why y'all, because y'all love the Patriots so much. I mean,
so real
find
quick,
out why they're not on board.
Let me get this out real quick. This is how the season standings now read in the Big Show Knows Fantasy
I don't
Football.
Care.
Gary Ellerson, last place with 56 oh. points. Leroy Butler, fourth place, 58
y'all
points.
Y'all got two brothers at the basement.
Our listeners and Sparky. Now, I'm sure there are some brothers in the listener base. They each got 60 points. Good for a second place tie. I continue my hold on at least a share of first place from wire to wire now.
Week I want one, the listeners to win.
Week 1 to week 10, I've had at least a share of first place, and I hang on to that with 66 points on the season. Actually, my lead grew a little bit this week. Thanks to our Green Bay football insider, Ryan Wood, for joining us. If you missed that or anything on today's show, check out Fan On Demand at 1057fmthefan.com. That's presented by John Paul's Buick GMC, Highway 100 in Greenfield. Next, it's the Horse and Plow Huddle with Gary Ellerson and Bill Michaels from the Horse and Plow in Kohler with Devontae Adams, their special guest. On site, right there in the Horse and Plow. You want to meet Devontae Adams? You close to Kohler? Get over there. Admiral Center Ice at 7, and then, of course, the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show tonight. For Gary, Leroy, Mike, I'm Rami saying thanks for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow starting at 2. David Bakhtiari at 4:35.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.